Ephesians chapter 4 for just a moment and finish up this message about forgiveness and fellowship. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, as we jumped into this message this morning, just to look back here for just a moment, he says that when we have bitterness or wrath or anger or clamor or evil speaking or malice, we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And he says, but be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And I would present to you that one of the ways you know if you really have forgiven somebody is if you are kind to them, if you are tender-hearted to them. If you're not kind to them, chances are there's unforgiveness in your life. If you are not tender-hearted to them, chances are you are not walking in forgiveness in your life. And notice if you are not being kind, and if you are not being tender-hearted, and if you have not forgiven, you notice you're still grieving the Holy Spirit of God. It isn't just the evil anger and speaking and clamoring and bitterness and wrath that grieves the Holy Spirit. It's when we don't go to the next step. He says, stop all the evil ways of communicating with each other, but go to the higher step. Be kind, be tender-hearted, forgive. Now, that's hard, and yet it is what we need to do, and it is what we can do by the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. Because notice he says in verse 32 one more time, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, this morning we only got to the first point here under we need to fess up. Now, as I was looking at this, I was like, fess up? Is that a valid thing to say? Fess up? And I was thinking, well, where would that come from? And I looked it up, and I was pretty sure I knew beforehand. I thought that it means confess, like it's shortened from confess it to just fess. Fess up. Admit it. And so I looked it up in the dictionary just to make sure, and ta-da, I was right. So if you ever want to use that term fess up, it's a valid thing, and it was first noted in, I don't know, 18-something. So it's a valid term. Fess up. We have to admit some things if we're going to have forgiveness and fellowship in our lives. And we looked at, we need to confess to God. We need to confess our faults one to another for accountability. We need to confront the offender sometimes. But we also need to comfort the offended. There's times when we've hurt people, sometimes honestly, it's not even our fault. And yet we still need to go out of our way to try and restore them. That's not our natural tendency. We get sick of those people who have hurt us. And what's our natural tendency? Well, they're offended with me. I didn't do anything wrong. That's their fault. That's on them. Well, actually, Jesus said it's on us. We have to try and restore them. Okay, but so we looked at that this morning. How do we forgive, though? Well, the first thing is we've got to take that principle of confessing, or fessing up to what we've done that's wrong, or what we've done that's at a fault, or making right even though we didn't mean to offend them. Okay? But what's the next thing? The next thing besides fessing up is we need to forgo sometimes. And what do I mean by forgo? It means to give up. It means to let it slide. It means to just, you know, keep on going. And there is a biblical principle that some offenses we should just let go of. Okay? Now, the question becomes, well, how do we know when I should take it to them because they've offended me? How do I know when I should confront them and say, hey, listen, you did wrong and you hurt us and you lied about me and you told other people I was a liar and you told... How do we know when to confront the person who's offended us, and how do we know when to forego and let it slide? I don't know in every instance, but I believe God will give you guidance if you pray. Let me show you the verses that I'm talking about. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 9. There's a time in which covering up an offense shows love. And by doing this, you're actually pursuing the other person and making them know you're not going to let go of that relationship because it matters to you. You care about them. You want to fix it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. Notice what he says. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Now God's saying that there is a choice that you have. You will have the ability to destroy the closest relationships in your life if you keep repeating something over and over again. You know, somebody told me the other day, 20 years, and they still bring this up. 20 years. And this wasn't a joke for them. This was tears. 20 years. They still bring it up. See, notice what it says here. He that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Close friends. You have the ability by keep bringing up endless reiterations of accusations, you have the ability to destroy your friendship, your family, your relationship. Or there's a time when just letting it go is the best thing to do to keep a relationship that God wants us to keep. Now, when is that? When do I confront the person and when do I let it go? You've got to make that decision by prayer. You've got to make that decision by faith. You've got to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. But whatever you do, I beg you, please tell God, I want to do what you think is best. I don't know. I have a feeling that some people look at loyalty differently than I do, because people are different than me, you know. But for me, loyalty is very important. And I just urge you, please, you don't have to be offended about everything. Sometimes just having some patience on a person will let you build a friendship, a family, and a church that can do some great things for God. Notice that if you forego, sometimes it's a wise thing because it builds love. But notice also, sometimes it is love that covers up sin. It covers up strife and hatred. Notice what it says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. See, instead of separating very friends by constantly repeating Oh, I remember what you did back in 1943. You know, notice what it says, Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. What is the Bible saying there? Now, there's a point at which Jesus said, if you're offended, you've got to deal with it. But there's a point at which bringing it up is not dealing with it. Bringing it up is only bringing back up the fight in some cases. And when we keep going back a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, you know what? You've got a list of what your brother did. You've got a list of what your sister, you got a list of what your husband did that it rolls out like the red carpet. It's so long. You've got a list from 1972. Get over it. Because when you keep bringing it up and it's not helping anybody, you're just stirring up hatred. You're actually showing that you hate them. That's what he says. Hatred stirreth up strifes. Now, how do you know that it's just stirring up strife? Because when you bring it up and it's not going to help anybody, you're just hurting them. You're harming them. And why? Because you want to remind them of how much of a failure they are. Because they hurt you, and you want to sting them back. Oh, yeah? Well, you remember when? I still remember when you did this. Hatred. That God, Bible calls that hatred when we do that. But love covers it over. It says, you know what? I don't have to remind you of when you treated me wrong. I don't have to remind you when you lied to me. I don't have to remind you, hey, listen. We can't always fix every problem we've got. But when we walk by faith, we can have mercy on another person. And you say, but they won't even admit that they were wrong. And sometimes, you just have to have mercy on them and leave it in God's side. I can't make you think what I think. And frankly, some things I think you shouldn't think because I mess up in my head sometimes. But I can't control you, and you can't control me. But we have to have a little bit of faith in God, that God can get through to us and make us fix what we're doing wrong. Love covereth over sins. Notice, thirdly, that it covers shame with prudence. In Proverbs 12, just two chapters over, verse 16. Notice what happens here. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. Hey, you can go back and you can reiterate what your brother, sister, mother, daughter, husband, son, neighbor, you can remind them for the rest of their life of how stupid they were and how much they should be ashamed for every little thing they've done wrong. Or you can have some wisdom and recognize that if you don't stop nitpicking about the things that they did a billion years ago, you're never going to be able to have peace. Wisdom, prudence. A prudent man covereth shame. You know, there's a difference between a person who is unrepentant and not willing to change something and a person who made a mistake and they're trying to do the right thing. Why do we have to remind them of how big a failure they were when they're trying to do the right thing now? Thirdly, if we're going to have forgiveness and fellowship, we've got to fess up, we've got to forego. Thirdly, we've got to forgive. Okay? Matthew chapter 18, turn on over there, we'll be here for a minute. Matthew chapter 18, verse 32. Matthew 18:32. Then, okay, now let me just set the stage here. Remember, in Matthew here, this is when a servant owed a great deal of money to his master, and he went to his master, called him and said, "It's time. Give me the money that you owe me." And the servant threw himself on the mercy of his master and said, I just don't have it. I'm sorry. I can't. Please have mercy on me." And the master said, "I'm going to have mercy on you. In fact, you don't have to repay me anything. Cancel the debt." Then that servant, after he had been forgiven, went out to someone who owed him money. And it was just a little bit of money compared to what he owed the master. And he went to that other guy that owed him like 10 bucks and said, "Pay me. And if you don't pay me, I'm going to cast you into the debtor's prison." And this is where we pick up in verse 32. "Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee of all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth. That means angry. And he was rightly angry, by the way. "Therefore his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." We need to forgive others. Why? We see the reason here. Well, because God, for Christ, forgave us. You know, the point is simple. Jesus said, this man owed his master $1 million, and he got mercy, but then he went to his friend who owed him like $100 and threatened to throw him into jail. If you've been forgiven by God, then why can't you forgive the person who's hurt you? You know, I've heard some people, you know, when I spent time as youth pastor, one of the things that I tried very hard to do was to help those who, for some reason, were disgruntled or offended, and try and help them find peace, help them find reconciliation, and help them just, some of them, it was just, they got to get their hearts right with God. And I'd go to them and I'd say, "Hey, I miss you at church lately. What's going on?" And they start saying, "Well, you know, Brother Andrew, that preacher. And they've got a laundry list that's about 3 years long. And you say, "Well, wait a minute, I thought you got that right." "Yeah, I did, but it still bothers me." Wait a minute. If that was straightened out, then why are you still meditating on it? God forgave you of so many things. Why are you still persecuting an offense against somebody who thinks this is all already straightened out? "Oh, but that preacher." And I say, "But listen, I thought you got that straightened out." "Yeah, but it just still bothers me." Jesus said, "Forgive like your Father forgave you." Why? That's the reason. Notice what happens when you forgive other people their trespass. Now, we were talking about this a little bit, about sin and trespasses. Notice God does not tell us to forgive people when they sin against us. Because we don't sin against each other. Sin is something we do against God. But we do trespass against each other, meaning we do things that God says don't do. And it is a sin before God, but it's a trespass against each other. You don't sin against me, even if you do something that's sin. You're not sinning against me. You're sinning against God. And if I do something that's sin that hurts you, I'm not really sinning against you. I'm sinning against God before you. And I may be trespassing against you. Just a little technicality there. But notice what happens here. Notice Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Just a couple of chapters back. He said, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That person says, yeah, but it still just bothers me. If we want to have full fellowship with our Heavenly Father, we have to have restored fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. There has to be... What is this idea of forgiveness? Now, I don't know if this is the best definition or not, but this is a definition that makes sense to me, and I propose it to you. Tell me if you like it. If you don't like it, that's fine. I'm sure there's a better one out there. But the way I understand forgiveness is for me to say, I feel like I should pay somebody back for hurting me, but I'm going to give it up and not try and hurt them anymore, even though they've hurt me. In my mind, that's what forgiveness means. To say, they've hurt me, they shouldn't have done it, it may have even been sin, but I'm going to let go and not hold anything against them. I don't know, again, I don't know if that's the best definition. I don't know if it's the most biblical definition, but it's what makes sense to me. And if I am holding on to what somebody did against me, how is God going to restore my fellowship with God when I'm still being bitter at somebody, some other human? And you know what? In the end, it's God who judges. And so I look at that person who's hurt me, I say, God, I don't know what to do about this. I got to leave it in your hands. And you know what happens? What happens for me, at least, when I do that? It makes it so that I can have a free spirit toward them. I can shake their hand. I can smile. And I can be happy to bless them in the Lord. And I can pray for them. Because here's the thing. They hurt me. Fine, they hurt me. So what? Maybe they even did wrong. Maybe it was even sin. But you know what? That's not my job. My job isn't to tell them if they did sin. My job is to tell them, God loves you, I love you, and leave it up to God. The result, when we forgive others, is that our relationship is restored with God as well. Jesus put it this way. James put it this way, if you curse your brother whom you see, how can you bless your father whom you can't see? You know? How can we love each other, or I'm sorry, how can we hate each other whom we do see and convince ourselves that we really love God when we don't see him? You want to prove that you love God whom you can't see? Then love your brother whom you can see. Finally, okay, I don't know if this is helping you or not. Last point. We're going to fess up if we're going to have proper forgiveness so we can have right fellowship. We've got to fess up on some things. We've got to forego some things. We've got to forgive some things. But here's the one that, like I mentioned earlier, we got to forget some things. And, you know, this is the one where a lot of well-meaning Christians, I can't tell you how many different people have said it. So if you ever said it to me, I'm not talking about you. because I've heard it just from so many different people. I'm not trying to call anybody out. People say, well, I forgive them, but I just can't forget. Now, there's a difference between, okay, somebody's going to rob your house, okay? Somebody robs your house. I'm not telling you, don't lock your door when you leave your house. That's not what I'm talking about when I say forget. But what I am saying is, there comes a point at which they've asked for forgiveness, and you've got to say, you know what? I'm going to, in my relationship with them, I'm going to forget the way they hurt me. I'm going to let it go. I'm not saying don't lock your house up. But there's something wrong when we look at somebody and say, well, they've done this so many times, they're probably doing it now. Let's look at the verses. Hebrews chapter number 8, verse number 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousnesses. I'm sorry, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. God promised to forgive and to forget. Now, he's all-knowing. So he still knows what happened. But he says, I'm forgetting it. And that's how it has to be for us too. We really don't forget as in we lose the knowledge of it. But emotionally, we have to forget it. Emotionally, we have to say, I choose not to hold that against them any longer. And when that happens, there comes a peace that passes understanding. Because that's the way God deals with us. And he promises a peace that passeth all understanding. How do those people who have had they've had their loved ones murdered, and they visit that person who murdered their wife, murdered their son, and they go and they love them. They pray for them. They talk to them. They try to help them. They lead them to the Lord sometimes. How do those people do it? Because they did more than just forgive. They forgot the offense. And rather, they loved them. You know, we watched the End of the Spear movie. Who remembers the Elliots who were killed in South America? You know, some of you guys. The missionaries wanted to reach this group of Indians who'd never been reached by white people, never seen, never met them. And they wanted to bring them the gospel. And they were cannibals. It was horrible, if I remember. I'm not sure. Were they cannibals? Yeah, they were cannibals, okay? And they started reaching out to them. They started giving them gifts. They gave them all sorts of help. And then when they finally showed up, they flew in on a plane and finally showed up, they killed them. The Indians killed them. And so what did their wives do? Their wives went and lived with them. And they came to know the Lord. They couldn't have done that unless they, when it comes to the offense, forgot what they had done to their husbands, what they had done to their fathers. That poor boy lost his father to those Indians, and yet he loved them. He served them. Remember, when we keep bringing up accusations, well, I know what you're really thinking. I know what you're really... You've done it so many times before. This is what you're thinking. I know it. You can't even tell me. Listen, we've got to be careful about assuming we know what's in somebody else's heart. The Bible calls it judging. Because unless they tell us what they're thinking, you don't really know what they're thinking. That's God's place. Now, if somebody tells you what they're thinking, okay, they told you. But if they tell you, this is not what I'm thinking, And you say, no, I know you're lying to me. Are you in God's place to judge their heart? When we accuse, we enter into the work of Satan. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. I'm almost done. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The word Satan just means accuser. This term devil means accuser. And when we say, I know what you're really thinking, this is what you said, but I know what you're really thinking. You've entered into Satan's work. That's what Satan does. Oh God, look at him now. There's a fiendish accusation there. Notice God says to forget because it brings us freedom. When you let go emotionally of those things, those offenses, and forget them, it allows you, with clearness in heart and in mind, to move forward with them. And by the way, that's part of why some people are so bitter that they can't even talk to that person anymore. Because the bitterness makes it so that they can't. Why do they have bitterness? Because God's giving them the grace to forgive, but they won't. And finally, to forget somebody's offense toward us means to have faith in God. You know, the Bible says it. Last verse, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. We'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. This is what Paul is telling us about love. And love, he's saying, love does some things. And look at what love does here when it comes to somebody else's heart. 1 Corinthians 13, 7. Love, it beareth all things, it believeth all things, it hopeth all things, it endureth all things. Hey, there's going to be some things that I do that bug you. And you can show that you love me if you put up and have some patience with me even when I'm irritating. And there's some things, because love bears all things. And there's some things in which you're tempted to think, oh, I know him. He's never going to get things right with God. But wait a minute. The Bible says love believeth all things. You love somebody when you have enough faith in God to believe that God's work is going to help them get right. I can't tell you how many people have come to me as pastor and said, he's never going to fix this. He's just going to keep doing this wrong. And when we remember that God says we believe all things, it helps get the situation fixed. Because when you believe that the other person will listen to God eventually, it gives you the patience and courage to bear with them a little bit longer. Hope with all things. Hey, people hurt us, but we still, by God's strength, believe that one day, because they are Christians, God's going to get a hold of them and fix this problem in their life and endureth all things. Unfortunately, that's what we've got. That's what love does until we get what we hope for. We hope one day that they're going to get it straightened out. They're going to stop smoking. They're going to stop drinking. They're going to stop laying out of church just because they're offended. They're going to stop gossiping. They're going to stop backbiting. They're going to stop lying. They're going to stop whatever it is. But until they get there, love puts up with some stuff. It endures some things. And these things we need to keep in mind, because the Bible says if we do not forgive each other, we will cut off God's blessing from us. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you and I thank you for your mercy to us, dear God. We ask you that you help us to understand your mercy and help us to be merciful to those that are around us because of the way you've been merciful to us. Help us to cast the right things and cast out for the right things and cast away the wrong things. And help us to forgive and to restore. Please help us just to be faithful to you as a church and draw closer to you so that we can do your work here in this church. In Jesus' name I pray, with our heads bowed for a moment of invitation.